This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. Now, I'm really excited for this minisode because we decided just on a whim to all get together this past weekend and, you know, fly into a place so we could all be together and create something for this mannequin challenge thing that's all the rage, because we really can't miss out on anything that's the rage. But maybe to be a little bit more gender equal, we decided that instead of calling this our infant mannequin challenge, that we're going to call this our people kin challenge, and spell kin K-I-N, right? So instead of man, it's people, like mannequin people. Get it, right? So we're progressing, you know, and we're going to have some hilarious poses ready for you. I mean, the whole thing's going to be really, really hilarious. But before we get to that, I want to say something about the episode that we released yesterday called Post-Trump Morality, because I think that we attempted something a little ambitious and didn't quite hit what we were going for, and by we, I mainly mean me. Now, I feel like I got a little OCD on that edit. I spent most of 3 days working on it, and I came away from it feeling a little bit like Tyrion Lannister's cousin Orson from Game of Thrones, obsessed with smashing these beetles.
Do you remember cousin Orson? Orson Lannister?
Of course. Wet nurse dropped him on his head and left him simple.
Simple? Used to sit all day in the garden crushing beetles with a rock. Nothing made him happier.
Nothing made you happier. You'd think being tormented from birth would have given you some affinity for the afflicted.
On the contrary, laughing at another person's misery was the only thing that made me feel like everyone else.
The joke wore thin, though.
For you, you drifted away.
I had other interests.
Yes, other interests. But I stayed with Orson.
Why?
I was curious. Why was he smashing all those beetles? What did he get out of it? First thing I did was ask him, Orson, why are you smashing all those beetles? He gave me an answer. Smash the beetles! Smash them! Come, come, come! In any case, I found nothing that illuminated the nature of Orson's affliction or the reason behind his relentless beetle slaughter. So, I went back to the source. I may not have been able to speak with Orson, but I could observe him, watch him, the way men watch animals to come to a deeper understanding of their behavior. And as I watched, I became more and more sure of it. There was something happening there. His face was like the page of a book, written in a language I didn't understand, but he wasn't mindless. He had his reasons. And I became possessed with knowing what they were. I began to spend inordinate amounts of time watching him. I would eat my lunch in the garden, chewing my mutton to the music of kuh, kuh, kuh. When I wasn't watching him, I was thinking about him. Father droned on about the family legacy, and I thought about Orson's beetles. I read the histories of Targaryen conquests. Did I hear dragon wings? No, I heard kuh, kuh, kuh. And I still couldn't figure out why he was doing it. And I had to know, because it was horrible that all these beetles should be dying for no reason.
Every day around the world, men, women, and children are murdered by the score. Who gives a dusty fuck about a bunch of beetles?
I know, but still, it filled me with dread. Piles and piles of them, years and years of them. How many countless living, crawling things smashed and dried out and returned to the dirt? In my dreams, I found myself standing on a beach made of beetle husks, stretching as far as the eye could see. I woke up crying, weeping for their shattered little bodies. I tried to stop Orson once.
He was twice your size.
He just pushed me aside with a coup and kept on smashing. Every day, until that mule kicked him in the chest and killed him. So what do you think? Why did he do it? What was it all about?
I don't know.
So in my case, my obsession was trying to connect what Jonathan Haidt said in The Righteous Mind, which I still don't completely understand, but I'm trying to, trying to connect that to the recent presidential election, which I also still don't understand, but I'm trying to, while at the same time trying to smash away at the things that I don't like about myself, like the things that make me more arrogant and morally superior than I really want to be. So, you know, I hope there were things in that episode that you found interesting and helpful the way that I'm finding them interesting and helpful, although I don't have it all mastered yet. But that's really what I wanted to say. It is what it is. So now I'm just really excited. Can you guys keep it down? I'm really excited. Are you guys ready? Okay, to do this mannequin challenge thing with my fellow infants. So, all right, everybody get ready. We've got Bob and Tom and Jake and Scott, Matt and John and Heather and Randy and me, all getting ready to hold perfectly still for as long as we possibly can. And be sure to tell us in the comments section for this minisode what you think about our poses, because some of them, Randy, that is hilarious. Some of them are just downright hilarious. Bob, nice one. So here we go. And instead of using the traditional mannequin challenge music, I'm going to go with the Broken Bells, which is my new favorite group. Thank you, Andrew. So here we go. Infant mannequin peoplekin challenge in five. Ready? 5, 4, 3.
Girl, take a seat. Rest your weary bones. The secret's safe in my hands. Tell me about the years and...
Okay, and while we're posing like this, because we are... Because we are all such posers, after all, we're going to turn on our favorite conference talk that was recently retired by LDS.org. Now, angels above us are silent notes taking, and so are we. So let's make sure that this inspired message never gets unsaid. All right, back to our poses. Heather, nice one. Oh, this is so hilarious.
Therefore, I speak to young men of the Aaronic priesthood, and young men only. And few times have I desired so earnestly to be sustained by the Spirit of the Lord as I discuss a subject that fathers should discuss with their sons. Because some young men do not have fathers, and because some fathers and some bishops do not know how to proceed, I approach a very personal subject. One that is important to every young man. Young man, you have been given a mortal body with which to experience earth life. Through it, you will be tested. Your body is the instrument of your mind and the foundation of your character. It has within it powers which, if properly used, will contribute greatly to your exaltation. If you use this gift worthily, it will serve you throughout all eternity. Never be ashamed of your body. No two are just alike. Some young men worry because they think their body is not well proportioned. They think they are too short or too tall or too stout or too thin or too something else. Physical proportions need have little to do with success, particularly spiritual success. Be grateful to your body. Strive to keep it healthy. Take nothing into your body that would harm it. Do not use tobacco, alcohol, drugs, or any other harmful substance. A young man should learn to rule his body like his temper. He should keep it always under complete control. That sometimes is not easy to do. Within your body, you have the power of creation. You will one day find a mate and desire greatly to express fully your love with her. The righteous expression of this physical love in marriage is approved of the Lord. She may then conceive and give birth to a boy or a girl, a baby, of whom you will be the father. This is a very sacred power. The Lord has commanded that you use it only with one to whom you are legally and lawfully wedded, and he has decreed serious penalties indeed for the misuse of it. This power begins early in life, with some when you are hardly in your teens. This has a purpose. For with this power come the attributes of manhood. You notice the changes in your stature, in your voice, a beard and other masculine characteristics become part of your nature. Your feelings also change. The physical power will influence you emotionally and spiritually as well. It begins to shape you to fit and to look and to feel and to be what you need to be as a father. It affects your life several years before you should express it fully. You must always guard this power with manly wisdom. You must wait until your marriage to use it. During that waiting, what do you do with these desires? My boy, you are to control them. You are forbidden to use them now in order that you may use them with worthiness and virtue and with the fullness of joy at the proper time in your life. I wish to explain something that will help you understand your young manhood and help you develop self-control. When this power begins to form, it might be likened to having a little factory in your body, one designed to produce that substance that can generate life. This little factory moves quietly into operation as a normal and expected pattern of growth and begins to produce that life-giving substance. It will do so perhaps as long as you live. It works very slowly. That is the way it should be. For the most part, unless you tamper with it, you will hardly be aware that it is working at all. As you move closer to manhood, this little factory will sometimes produce an oversupply of this substance. The Lord has provided a way for that to be released. It will happen without any help, nor without any resistance from you. Perhaps one night you will have a dream, and in the course of it, the release valve that controls that little factory will open and release all that is excess. The factory and the automatic release valve works on its own schedule. The Lord intended it to be that way. It is to regulate itself. This will not happen very often. You may go a long period of time, and there will be no need for this to occur. When it does, you should not feel guilty. It is the nature of young manhood and is part of becoming a man. There is, however, something you should not do. Sometimes a young man does not understand. Perhaps he is encouraged by unwise or unworthy companions to tamper with that factory. He might fondle himself and open that release valve. This you should not do. For if you do, that little factory will speed up. And you will be tempted to tamper with it again and again. You can quickly be subjected to a habit, one that is not worthy, one that will leave you feeling depressed and guilty. Resist that temptation. Do not be guilty of tampering or playing with this sacred power of creation. Keep it in reserve for the time that it can be righteously employed. Now, one of you perhaps has not fully understood until now. Perhaps your father did not talk to you. You may already have been guilty of tampering with these powers. You may even have developed a habit. What then? First, I want you to know this. If you are struggling with this temptation, and perhaps have not been quite able to resist it, the Lord still loves you. It is not anything so wicked, nor is it a transgression so great. The Lord would reject you because of it. But it can quickly lead to that kind of transgression. It is not pleasing to the Lord, nor is it pleasing to you. It does not make you feel worthy or clean. Now, there are ways to conquer such a habit. First of all, you must leave that little factory alone long enough for it to slow down. Resisting is not easy. It will take weeks, even months. But you can get the little factory slowed back to where it should be. I have another suggestion. The power to prevent such habits or to break them rests in the mind, not in the body. Don't let the physical part of you take charge. You stay in control. Condition your body to do the will of your mind. To do this, you must keep always worth and clean thoughts. Divert your thoughts from things that lead you to mischief. Vigorous physical exercise benefits young men in many ways. You are most vulnerable when you are idle. And discouraged, that is the time to keep on guard. I know a way to keep your thoughts worthy. It has helped me, and I explained it on one occasion in a general conference talk. It has to do with selecting a favorite hymn and making that as the channel for your thoughts to follow at time of temptation. Another thing that will help you to prevent and to overcome such a habit, at times of special temptation, skip a meal or two. We call that fasting, you know. It has a powerful effect upon you physically. It diverts some of that physical energy to more ordinary needs. It tempers desire and reduces the temptation. Fasting will help you greatly. In the scriptures, and you should be acquainted with the scripture, fasting and prayer are generally mentioned together. Prayer is a powerful instrument to bless young men. If a missionary, for instance, indulges in these unworthy practices, the Spirit of the Lord will leave him. When he is prayerful and will fast, the Spirit of the Lord sustains him, and he soon develops a manly restraint and control. Resist those temptations. Do not tamper with your body. If you have already, cease to do it now. Put it away and overcome it. The signal of worthy manhood is self-control. This creative power is ordained for the beginning of life and as a binding tie in the marriage covenant. It is not to be used prematurely. It is to be known between husband and wife and in no other way. If you misuse it, you will be sorry. Now a warning. I am hesitant even to mention this subject. It must be labeled as major transgression. It is not pleasant, but I will speak plainly. There are some circumstances in which young men may be tempted to handle one another, to have contact with one another physically in unusual ways. Latter-day Saint young men are not to do this. Sometimes this begins in a moment of idle foolishness when boys are just playing around. But it is not foolishness, it is remarkably dangerous. When a young man is finding his way into manhood, such experiences can misdirect his normal desires and pervert him, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. It was never intended that we use this life-giving power only with one who is our partner in marriage. I repeat very plainly, physical mischief with another man is forbidden. It is forbidden of the Lord. Now there are some men who entice young men to join them in these immoral acts. If you are ever approached to participate in anything like that, that is the time to vigorously resist. While touring a mission on one occasion, a missionary said he had something to confess. I was very worried because he just could not get himself to tell me what he had done. After patient encouragement, he finally blurted out, "I hit my companion." "Oh, is that all?" I said in great relief. "But I floored him," he said. After a little more research into what had happened, my response was, "Well, thanks. Somebody had to do it, and it wouldn't and it wouldn't be well for a general authority to solve a problem in that way." Now, I'm not recommending that course to you, my young friends, but I'm not omitting it. You must you must protect yourselves. There is a falsehood that some are born with an attraction to their own kind and that they can do nothing about it. They are just that way. And that is a malicious, destructive lie. It is of the devil. No one is locked into that kind of life. From our premortal existence, we were directed into a physical body. There is no mismatching of bodies and spirits. Boys are to become men, masculine, manly men, ultimately to become husbands and fathers. No one is predestined to a life of perversion. Even those who have been drawn into wicked practices and are bound by almost unyielding habits can escape. If one of you seems trapped into that, escape. Go to your father or bishop, please. Your parents, your bishop, the servants of the Lord, the angels of heaven, and the Lord himself will help redeem you from it. Young Latter-day Saints, do not tamper with these powers, neither with yourself alone, nor with any of your own kind. Never let anyone handle or touch those very personal parts of your body, which are an essential link in the ongoing of creation. Many of the world would, I am sure, be amused at this counsel. Let them be amused. They live by another standard, a lower one. We live by the Lord's standard and will continue to teach it. Now it is normal and proper for a young man to become increasingly interested in young women, to begin to date and eventually to pair up, and we encourage that. But be careful. Keep your relationship with young women pure and chaste. Reserve those life-giving powers for marriage. Generally, a young man is physically developed for marriage long before he is emotionally or spiritually or materially qualified for it. In due time, when all things are in balance, you will be ready. After you have kept yourself in physical control, after you are sufficiently mature emotionally and spiritually, after you have some material resources, that is the time for marriage. Then you can enter into the new and everlasting covenant. You and your sweetheart will be sealed together for time and for all eternity. These sacred life-giving powers will then be released for your use. They will become a binding tie in your marriage. Through them, you will become a father. But for now, you prepare and follow the instruction in the scripture, "Be ye clean who bear the vessels of the Lord." God bless you, our young brethren. Bless you that you may resist, that you might cleanse and purify yourself. In doing so, I testify that you will please the Lord, and you will please his prophet, of whom I bear witness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can you believe we actually held our poses that entire time? Way to go, guys! Way to go! Way to go, guys! Yay!
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.